successful regional and national disabilities commissions. Today, we are pleased to report to City Council that 91% of respondents who participated in a citywide survey, coupled with input from the focus group and community-based organizations, overwhelmingly support and strongly recommend for consideration the expansion of Portland Citizen Disability Advisory Committee. At this juncture, Jeremy will discuss outcome of the process aforementioned.
So throughout the engagement process Charles described, our guiding question to the community was, how will commission leadership make things different? What needs would a commission serve? And we gathered three major themes from our interviews and surveying. First, that the city broaden its outreach to persons with disabilities through a commission. The latest census data suggests that over 18% of the persons who live in the metro area have a disability of some kind, a mental or a physical impairment. A larger commission could reach out to these folks who, frankly, we rarely hear from. Second, through the council appointment process, a commission can ensure that a broader range of disabilities be represented. The current committee is representing the general interests of persons with disabilities, but is doing so without input from a number of important perspectives. Through our surveying and interviews, we also know that mental disabilities are hugely important to the community, and the perception is that these interests are underrepresented in the city. That is something we're asking the commission to address through a partnership with Multnomah County. Finally, we heard an interest in greater collaboration between city bureaus and the community. We heard that both from the community and also from the bureaus themselves. So once we nailed down the interests of the community, we built those abstractions into the framework of the resolution that you're voting on today. We also wanted to ensure that we are empowering the community to make recommendations to City Council for full appointments to the commission. So to do that, the resolution directs the formation of a smaller summary commission that will last for 6 months. Their job will be to form bylaws and an action plan, make appointment recommendations, and set up a merger with the county's disability committee. After their work is complete by July, the full commission would be appointed. And actually, I wanted to take this opportunity now, if there are any persons who are going to be appointed to that commission, President, if you wouldn't mind raising your hand or standing to be recognized. I think it's probably worth mentioning that there were many persons in the community who wanted to be here today to support this, but because of the bad weather, the paratransit system made it difficult for them to be here, and I think that's a pithy illustration of some of the challenges that some persons with disabilities face. So are there any questions about the process that we went through or the way that we set this up? We'd like to take the opportunity to answer those now. And if not, I'll turn it over to Mayor Potter.
Very good. Do we have folks signed? We actually have some folks to bring up to testify. So I would like to invite up Jan Campbell, Joan Hansen, Denorgia Price, and April Bertelson.
Believe me.
He beat me to the punch.
We have, is Jan here today?
I didn't see her.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Joan, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'd like to say good morning, intrepid Mayor Tom Potter and the commissioners. And thank you very much for opening your time to this issue. My name is Joan Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N, and I live in Northeast Portland. I have a wish to tell you a little bit about how I've been involved in the disability community and the volunteer work I have done, and why I support the development of a commission form of our previous Portland Citizens Disability Advisory Committee. About me, about 20 years ago, I was working as a school social worker when I became totally blind. And after some rehab, I became involved in volunteering for what was then the City County Disability Advisory Committee. And I served on that for about 10 years of my 20 of being blind. And that committee was reconstituted 2 years ago, as you've been told, into the Portland Citizens Disability Advisory Committee, with much of the same functions, some different membership, but the same cause of advocating for our fellow persons with disabilities. And what I liked about the inclusion in that group was it was a place for persons to go who were concerned about what was happening for people who were disabled. Persons could come to this group as disabled persons or just persons with an interest. And we were able to either one-to-one or as a group take up some issues and bring about positive change. I enjoyed being involved that way. I enjoyed the contact, and I enjoyed the success, frankly. And I'm looking forward to a continuation of my involvement into the future as long as I feel that I can function effectively and purposefully. So I'm very, very happy that you're taking this issue under advisement. Couple of the structure issues there that I really approve of that will be different in its organization is the liaison from the bureaus of the city to our group. I think that this will formalize and enhance communication. Both ways, both the disability community to city government itself and vice versa. And I can see this as only a positive way to go. I also agree with a structure which presents an opportunity for more outreach to the larger community. There are many, many people, as been mentioned earlier, who don't know about the opportunity to be involved and to advocate for themselves or for others. So I'm very much in favor of that being structured and formalized by this committee. I am a member of this summary committee for the next several months. As I said in a statement to the selection group, I'm less interested in dealing with the semantics of bylaws. I think they've already been very well presented to you for what's already existing, and I'm also less concerned about our mission statement, although I know they're necessary in our working together. And I think maybe that could be, you have a copy of that, I think, in your material. That can be made a little bit briefer. You're listening to a long talker, and you might wonder, well, how am I going to help make it all be briefer? Well, I'm going to try, and I hope I have the opportunity to try. Historically, you all have been open to hearing our voices and to heeding them. I'm asking you this morning to continue in that good way, hear what we are saying, heed what we want, and we'll go ahead together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan.
My name is April Bertelson. I'm here representing the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I thank you, Mayor Tom Potter and commissioners, for this opportunity. And I want to give special thanks to Mayor Tom Potter and his staff, as well as staff of ONI, the current members of the Portland Citizen Disability Advisory Committee, and many others who have been involved in first reformulating the Disability Advisory Committee, but now the movement to raise it to commission status. So thank you for all the work. To continue, PDOT does support formation of the Disability Portland Commission on Disabilities. For the past couple of years, I have, as the city's pedestrian coordinator, served as a liaison from the PDOT, or now Bureau of Transportation, to the PCDEX Transportation Subcommittee. And as the committee becomes a commission, I will continue to serve as the Bureau of Transportation liaison to the full commission. And I just want to share with you that I have found much value in establishing the liaison relationship thus far with the PCDEC. It has enabled our bureau to engage and seek feedback from members of the disability community on specific projects and reach better outcomes. An example where we were able to reach an agreeable solution was when we had some design issues associated with the detectable warning and contrast on the transit mall. The conduit relationship we had enabled a group of people from staff and from the commission to come committee to come together to work through a solution. Additionally, the sidewalk cafe program, we are currently updating the process and to bring about some improvements and have been able to engage the committee. It has also enabled us to be proactive in increasing disability awareness. For example, coordinating working together to plan and execute the roll and stroll events and with members of the PCDEC, many of you from City Council, as well as staff from Transportation, and the chair of the Design Commission. I think it was very notable. When done well, giving leaders, managers, design engineers, technicians, architects, and planners the opportunity to walk the street low vision, or travel with a mobility device can be a transforming experience. And I think you would agree. And Commissioner Leonard, look forward to the opportunity of sharing that.
Thank you.
The Bureau of Transportation looks forward to continuing this beneficial relationship. Likewise, I think it will be a benefit for other bureaus to have liaisons as well. Like any relationship, the communication and work goes both ways. We will seek their advice as well as share information and opportunities to participate in government. We will also look forward to hearing from the commission what their needs, issues, and areas of interest are. I personally look forward to continuing to work with members of the Commission on Disabilities. By working together, we will help heal the streets of Portland and design for universal access, thus making it possible for everyone to travel safely with dignity and respect. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Joan, for being here. And full disclosure, Joan is my mother-in-law.
Oh!
She gave me some very good advice that I have shared with the new Commissioner of Housing, Nick Fish. And she said, when you talk about affordable housing, talk about accessible housing in the same breath. And I've shared that with Nick, and he wrote that information down, just like I did when you told me, Joan.
Has Tom been a good son-in-law?
Thank you.
Dare we ask?
That's not fair.
I guess that's fair. Enough for now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan. Herb, thank you for bringing your lovely wife down. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Do we have folks signed up to testify? Thank you, April.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Sherry, why don't you lead off? That's all right. You got here first. Mayor Tom Potter and City Commissioners, thank you so much for allowing us here to testify in support of establishing a Commission on Disabilities. I'm Lucy Baker. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Business Leadership Network. We're a consortium of Oregon's leading employers around inclusion of people with disabilities, both in the workplace and the marketplace. City of Portland has been an active member of the OBLN since it was established in 2004. Beverly Belinsky Dean from the EEO office serves on our board of directors. Nicole has presented at our presentations, and your recruiters from a number of different departments have been enthusiastic participants in our recruiting events and other diversity forums. We're here as business leaders to support the idea of having a strong, inclusive voice of people with disabilities available to you. It's as important internally to business as it is to our governmental partners around making great decisions, bringing leadership alignment around inclusion down into the departments that we lead, and overseeing program development and implementation. This is a great move, and we applaud you for it, and are really honored to be able to support you in your work. We look forward as a collaboration of employers to working together, both with the mayor's office, the commissioners, and the new commission, to help with inclusion around the considerable talents and contributions of people with disabilities in our community. Thank you.
State your name for the record.
My name is Cherie Heppe, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners and ladies and gentlemen. I am probably going to be one of the 10% mentioned in the study who is not supporting the formation of a commission on disabilities. And the reason for that is there are a number of reasons, but initially I'm a newcomer to Portland. And my experience with the disability and access systems here has not been especially favorable. So perhaps this colored my interest in seeing that a commission maybe not get formed. In the other cities where I've actually served on some of these sorts of commissions, when commissions become formalized from a committee, the changes that occur in government and in policies and so forth don't seem to be significant, but a lot of expenditure goes out, you know, supporting an administrative body that isn't giving attention to the difficulties that people are actually having who are people with disabilities. One of the solutions that some people have found to the gatekeeper issues around disability has been to establish an independent web-based contact resource. And this has been done in Connecticut and New York. I don't know about New York. I learned about Connecticut recently. The website is www.connect-ability.com. And this connects employers with people who are seeking employment, and it has videos of people who are disabled working and demonstrating how these tasks can be done. I'm interested in this particular phase because I'm part-time employed but could use full-time employment. So I've had the experience of going through the Portland website, which is fairly inaccessible. It's not inaccessible if you're, you know, a brilliant tech-savvy person who actually knows various computer languages and whatever. But if you're an average person, it's a little inaccessible. And so these sorts of independent resources, such as the website I mentioned, might be a way to do it. I understand that a commission has to be in place. There has to be some kind of body to address. But my interest would be to find out who are the 10% who didn't support the founding of this commission and for what reasons. And perhaps that could be addressed as part of the remedy structure. Thank you for this opportunity to allow me to testify.
Thank you very much. Is that all who are signed up to testify?
Green Firma.
Is anyone here in the audience who wishes to testify this very specific issue? We will...
I would, sir.
Oh, please come forward. Please state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Ann Valzell. I have no prepared message for you, just words from the heart and from the mind. I represent the National Multiple Sclerosis Society and also the Portland Disability Advisory Committee, having been a part of both of those things. So as far as the National MS Society, our representatives in the greater Portland area number in the thousands, almost 3,000 who have multiple sclerosis, and many, many more family members who are affected by that disease. What we need, who are advocates and who have disabilities, is a body that we can turn to speak for us, to liaison with the city. And we believe that a commission is the way to go with that. Also, I'm looking at two of you. I've recognized you at the Roland Strolls. I'm one of the ones participating in that event as well. And soon, maybe another as well. So I really encourage you to consider making the committee into a commission that will speak for the entire population of folks in this area who have disabilities, whether they're of the 10% who question whether a commission would be successful, or the 90% who say, yes, we're ready to try it. Let's have a body where all parties can come together, voice their reservations and their positive points, where we can work it out together with the city and the commission together. So that's my wish, and I hope that we can see that happen soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please read item 1728. Oh, then we have to vote on 1728.
Right.
Okay. Now we can. So please call a vote.
First, I'd like to thank Nicole for her tireless advocacy in bringing this issue forward. Second, I'd like to thank the mayor for dedicating the 4 years of his service to our community to removing barriers. I think that when the final review of your service is written, sir, I think it'll be about removing barriers to participation, barriers that exist to people understanding, barriers to feeling fully involved in our community. And this is one area where you've distinguished yourself, and it is true, I can say to your mother and father-in-law that you have regularly corrected me when I use the term affordable housing, and I now regularly refer to it as affordable and accessible housing. So I thank you for that. And finally, I'd like to just acknowledge the person who had the greatest influence in my life on this issue, which was my father, who I lost in 96. But as a young man growing up in his household, I watched as he led the effort at the federal level to craft the Americans with Disabilities Act. And he was the principal author of the ADA. And as his son, I'm proud to follow in his footsteps and vote aye.
Well, those are great remarks. I won't try to top them other than to say I'm really proud to be in a position to vote for this. Aye.
Well, this resolution was brought forward by all five council members. And so I think that even though two of them are gone, they would be here to vote yes on this important issue. And I really want to thank Nicole, Sharon, and Charles McGee, and Jeremy from my office for their work on this, and the community. This community is a wonderful community. I've got to know them, and be with them, party with them, and enjoy the time that we have spent together. I have a profound respect for this community and the work that they do, the obstacles that they overcome in their daily lives. And I think that for most of us who don't have those obstacles, it's important to take a few minutes and stop and reflect about that. If you want to have a really good experience, try riding in one of their mobility devices, a wheelchair around the city of Portland, and find out about what curb cuts really mean to people with disabilities, particularly when they're not cut correctly. So you folks do a wonderful job. I'm very proud of you, and I am very proud to help be part of the process of creating this commission. I vote aye. Please read item 1729. Did you add
Jackie Mercer?
And as amended, Jackie.
Yes. Very good. Please call the vote on that.
Thank you all for agreeing to serve. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much, folks, for being here. We're going to now move to the regular agenda. Please read item 1751. Thank you very much. One of the things I notice is that this is an emergency ordinance, and we don't have the council to enough members to vote on the emergency ordinance. Nate, do you have any wonderful ideas?
We have talked about this, noting Commissioner Adams' absence and Commissioner Saltzman's absence. There are two ways in which we could proceed. We could take the emergency ordinances that are on the agenda and continue them until next week, or my understanding is that Commissioner Adams' absence was noted from 10:30 until noon, and we have not heard back from his office as to whether he's expected back or not. There are other matters on the agenda. You could continue forward with the other matters and see if he returns, with the hope that he might be able to return in time to pass the emergencies today.
And then if he didn't, then at that time we could continue.
And you could continue the items at that time.
Okay. But I do have a go ahead, Sue.
Also, I would add, I didn't have anyone sign up to testify. Sometimes we would take testimony.
Okay.
As a co-sponsor, is Commissioner Adams vote assumed?
No.
No.
He has to be present to vote.
Nice try, Nate. So, and I have a note saying that Commissioner Adams is out for the remainder of the council. So
shall we just set it over?
So let's set that over until the 24th. I hope we'll have four folks there, because this does have to be passed as an emergency prior to the end of the year in order to continue the contract. Okay. We'll move to second reading of item 1752. Please call the vote.
Fish. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Adams' office has requested to set over the second reading on items 1753 and 54. Any objections?
I've invited a guest here who has to leave, and I'm a supporter of the recap four. So
for the two measure?
For the one, 1753.
And for 50.
And we have a, I have somebody here as a guest that has missed work and has got to, has waited this morning to.
So do you want to have them heard
yes,
before?
Please.
Please come forward.
Oh, no, I mean to watch the vote.
Oh, to watch the vote.
Yeah. With the second reading, we had debate last week.
Right. His office has asked to have these set over to be voted on next week because we don't have enough votes to vote on 1754 to approve it.
Well, I would object to that.
Your feeling?
I was not aware that there was a request to set this over. I was prepared to vote on both. I think for the benefit of people watching, if we only have three commissioners present, and it's a non-emergency matter, it's a second reading, do you need all three votes for something to carry?
Yes.
So, and if we are unable to muster three votes in support of a position, it would just it would fail?
Yes.
And so my concern, of course, is that I'd like to have this voted on in a way that we find some way to find agreement on some package. If it fails,
as I said, that they're separated. 1753 is recap. I'm prepared to support that. What I would ask that happen if 1754 did not pass, we'd sit down and talk about it and try to find a middle ground. And I think there is. I think that gives us an opportunity to do that.
I guess I don't know what the protocol is when a colleague asked to have something set over. And again, I was not approached with that request. So, I mean, my normal inclination would be to agree to that request if a colleague made it.
If I was wanting this to pass, I would agree with you. Fortunately, I do not.
Okay. So if you agree to set it over, then that's the majority of this group to.
Well, it takes three.
To set it over?
Yeah. Our votes have consistently, our precedent has been three votes on parliamentary matters through ordinances or resolutions.
Okay. Why don't we
go to 1755 and just come right back to
okay.
that time so we can.
Okay, please read item 1755.
Mayor, commissioners, Carmen Merlot wanted me to express that this is a voluntary joining of people together that are at the regional level to share information. And what this resolution does is it outlines a protocol for doing this. And if we were to activate the need for if you wanted to talk to someone from another
Patty,
area.
Can you state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry. Patty Reuter, Portland Office of Emergency Management. This has just been going on so long today. So I just wanted to let you know that this action is, we would help you get in touch with the other jurisdictions, officials, and so that information could be shared about a regional incident. This is about.
Okay, questions from the commissioners?
Okay.
Thank you, Patty. You may want to stick around for the next one.
Yeah.
Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No, I
do not. Is anyone here who wishes to testify this specific issue? Please call the vote. Is there anyone signed up? No, I already asked that. Excuse me. Call the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Please read. Oops, it's an emergency.
We'll go to 1757.
So let's go to 1757.
That's the reading.
Patty, thank you.
Okay.
Second reading, call the vote.
Further define the emergency
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
So 1756, emergency, we voted on 57, 58, 59, 60, 61. Are all emergencies?
I'm going to set those over to next week's calendar.
Okay.
Second. Why did that? We do that all? Yeah. Okay.
We vote on that since it's agreed to?
Yeah. No. Okay. I think we're historical.
Set over. Please read item 1762 and 68 together.
Good morning. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. With me is Cindy Dietz from the Portland Water Bureau and Sun Noble from the Bureau of Environmental Services. Sue, did we have the quick presentation ready to go?
Is it really quick?
Thank you, Sue. I just passed out hard copies of this presentation as well. We're bringing forward two LIDs for the Deltawood neighborhood that would be constructed on a parallel path to build new water and sanitary sewer facilities for the neighborhood. I wanted to give you an overview map. Unfortunately and sadly, Delta is kind of one of the forgotten neighborhoods in Portland. This is an overview map to give you an idea of where it is. It's north of the Columbia Slough, south of the Columbia River, and east of Interstate 5. And Deltawood has not been claimed by any of the neighborhood associations in Portland, so it's a little bit of an orphan in an area all of its own. This is a closer-up map of the properties located in Deltawood. There are 42 properties that would be part of both LIDs, and they're shown on the map there. You can see that the area of improvement is just north of Gertz Road, and again, we would be constructing water and sewer improvements in that area. There's one vacant lot in the development, but all other properties are developed. I wanted to give you a quick chronology of how we got here. Deltawood was built during World War II. All of the homes were built in 1941. City of Portland annexed the area in 1971. And I know that from what BES has told me that the Deltawood residents have been working for probably the better part of 20 years trying to get their infrastructure problems addressed. Just to give you some of the recent history on Deltawood, we held a property owner meeting in July of 2007 to discuss water and sewer improvements. We had a follow-up meeting last summer. We petitioned both LIDs this summer. We wound up with approximately one-third petition support for both LIDs. The Deltawood HOA asked me if there were other options to move forward with infrastructure improvements that were very much needed. So they sent letters to Commissioners Adams and Leonard requesting a council-initiated LID. They entered into a repayment agreement for back utility bills in October, which are the prerequisite to moving forward with the LIDs. We notified all the property owners that we were moving forward with a council-initiated LID last month. And if you approve both of these resolutions, we would have LID formation hearings in February, and anyone who couldn't be here today would have an opportunity to come back in February. So just a quick recap before I turn it over to additional staff comments and property owner testimony. Right now, the Deltawood HOA collect dues from its members. The majority of the funds that they collect go to pay for utility bills because they have their residents all on a common meter for both water and sewer. So they are in the awkward position of having to pay the water and sewer bills and then turn around and collect that individually from all of the residents in Deltawood. Of the $165.10 a month that they'll be paying effective in January, $61.62 per month of that include back utility bills. So added to that is the current utility bill. So again, most of the monthly dues for Deltawood are going for their water and sewer bills. And after these LIDs are completed, everybody will be on individual meters and will have control over their own water usage and payment of their utility bill. So there will not be much that the HOA will need to collect funds for after the LIDs are completed other than doing periodic and ongoing maintenance of their private streets. So the BES LID is being offered under auspices of the Party Line Sewer Program. This would be the first Party Line Sewer LID funded under the conversion rate program that council adopted. And BES would be offering partial funding on that LID. It would also be the first sanitary sewer LID, to my knowledge, in about 20 years. Most of the cost of the LIDs are capped by the Portland Water Bureau and by BES, which eliminates a significant amount of financial risk to the property owners. And I've broken out for you on a 20-year monthly payment plan what that would work out to per month based on the current estimate. So for the water LID, that's just a little under $92 per month. For the sewer LID, it's about $60 a month. You add those together, it's about $152 a month, which is a little bit less than what they're paying right now for their HOA. I would also add that there's not much of a cushion built into the HOA fees to pay for catastrophic maintenance. And you'll hear in a moment, or I should say repairs for catastrophic events. You'll hear more about that in a moment from the Deltawood HOA residents. Now, we estimated that based on conservation savings, once everybody goes over to individual meters, that property owners would save on average about $9.10 a month. So we expect the net after savings cost to be about $143 a month, again, assuming that they finance over 20 years. This does not include the cost of private plumbing work, which would be paid separately by the property owners. So again, you can see that the overall difference there is that the cost of the LIDs is about $23 a month less than what they're paying for the HOA right now. So really, in effect, what happens is that the property owners would then bear the cost of having their individual water and sewer bills once the LID is complete, but they would no longer have the stress of patching together their existing systems that are failing, and that obligation would be taken off their hands because the city would then take over maintenance responsibility for the water and sewer. I'm happy to turn it over to Cindy and Sun if they have anything to add. Otherwise, we could go to the property owner testimony.
Council, Mayor, I'm Cindy Dietz with the Portland Water Bureau. And right now, the single water service serves Deltawood and connects to their privately owned water system. Deltawood's privately owned water system leaks a lot. They have amassed a large delinquent utility bill. At their request, the Portland Water Bureau developed the Phase 1 LID package, and this also includes Deltawood's repayment plan to address their arrears bill. The LID package is going to replace their private water system, and therefore the leaks will be eliminated. The LID package also installs individual water meters at each property, and this provides the homeowners with the ability to manage and control their own water use. Income-eligible customers will be able to qualify for bill discounts and other financial assistance. So I want to say that the creation of these LIDs has been a joint effort with the Deltawood Homeowners Association, the Portland Water Bureau, BES, Andrew Ebby as the city LID administrator, and we're pleased to present this proposal for your consideration today.
I'm Sun Noble with BES, Mayor Potter, Commissioners. All I want to do is reiterate what Andrew mentioned, that with the adoption of the conversion party sewer program, this made the LID possible. We haven't had a sanitary LID in 20 years, so we're happy with the program that we can do this.
Thank you, folks. We have folks signed to testify on this.
We have four. Lorna Baxter,
Please come forward, folks. Thank you for being here this morning. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes, and anyone can begin.
My name is Lorna Baxter. I'm the president of the Delta Wood Homeowners Association.
Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for listening to us today. I'd like to speak just briefly on reiterating the HOA fees that we incurred, and most of us are newer homeowners to the area. And with that, it was a surprise to us in regards to the deficit and the leakage. It's not something that's reported when you're purchasing the home through the title company. So once we moved in there, the current HOA said, oh, by the way. So we were pleased to work with the city in regards to having a reduction on such a huge deficit to our water. We just recently repaired another leak in our area. Of course, the piping is old from the 1940s, and once an area of the piping is patched, another one leaks. So this is just ongoing, and of course, the cost for us to repair the area and lay new pipes, as you all would know best, would be just phenomenal, and it's something that we just couldn't do without the city's help. I still have a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to use it, though.
Okay.
Go ahead. Thank you. Hi, my name is Karen Jan Sturtevant. I bought down in Delta Wood back in June of 2005. I actually bought it from the previous president that at that point in time, then in the previous few years before that, then Delta Wood used to be a big drug neighborhood. There is no longer drugs down in the neighborhood. That has been eliminated in the last 5 years. We've made huge improvements trying to improve the neighborhood, but one of the things we can't do is improve the water system or the sewer system. There's just not funds for that. Previous to my becoming on the board, which was almost immediate because I had the contacts of the previous president, then and that was the only acting board member at that time. Everybody else had quit. So I was immediately put onto the board upon signing my title papers. At that point, then, we've gone ahead and we've hired a management company. They're now taking over that, which they've been in, able to then get people to at least pay their dues where they weren't paying them before, which is one reason why we ended up with a huge water deficit, water and sewer. But there still remains the fact that this is a neighborhood that is a low-income neighborhood. There is not the funds there at all for being able to have our neighborhood association go out and get the funds to have a new water system or sewer system put in. Like Lorna was saying, any fix that we do to the water pipes ends up being a Band-Aid fix. A new pipe immediately almost breaks. And so at this point, you know, we just cannot continue to keep doing Band-Aid fixes to this line. It's just going to run us even farther in debt. And, you know, we want to do what we can to make this neighborhood a livable neighborhood. But with 42 homes all working on one water meter, for all of those, anytime anybody needs to repair their home, they've got to shut down that water meter, shut it off at the meter. That shuts down all the 42 homes at that time. So you're shutting down water to everybody. And whenever you turn on that water again, it's that more likely, because the pipes are from 1940s, that another pipe is going to break. So we're just asking for all the help that we can get, and we would love to be able to join in on having this LID situation.
Thank you.
My name's Neil Ruckman. I'm also a relatively new homeowner in the community. We were aware of the situation to some extent, but it's pretty obvious that the water and sewer system there is not repairable at all. and the only solution is to replace it with a new system. The community, I found, has really made a lot of strides in terms of cleaning it up so that it is now a community instead of like a haven for people on addiction problems and party zones. I've heard that the police presence there was pretty constant in the past, but I've only seen three or four policemen in the area since I've moved in over the last 3 years or so. So they've really done a lot of work to clean up the area. And the reason we're in the mess was that it was pretty much a rental area and a no-man's zone, and all the water bills and everything were just shined on. So there's this big backlog of bill that now these new first-time homeowners are saddled with. And most of us are living right there on the edge. There isn't the resources to bring in the funds needed to really replace this system. In the long run, I think this is like the only solution. It may be a little painful at first, but in the long run, it's going to be better off for everyone, the lowest cost option for the homeowners, and a chance to really build that community up to the pride that it aspires to at the moment. If you've been through it at all, you'll see that the houses there are really being reworked and remodeled and taken care of, and there's pride in this community. So I really encourage you to approve these LIDs, and I think it'll, in the long run, it's the wisest investment that could be made. And again, I want to thank the Homeowners Association, because it's only within the last 4 or 5 years that it actually reenacted itself and started addressing these issues rather than just ignoring them and letting them build and build. So we're not in a position to do anything but put Band-Aids on right now. And the catastrophe is just, it could happen anytime in terms of some real issues with the sewer and water system there. I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Thank you all for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's one more speaker, Cheryl Sampson. No, I'm not speaking. Thank you.
Oh. Okay. Please read item 1762. Call a vote.
Rich. Aye.
So 1762 is a resolution. Aye.
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 Please read item 1768.
We have our city attorney back.
And let's finish the vote on this.
We'll I'm sorry. Okay.
Call a vote.
Fish. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations, folks.
Thanks.
We turn to items 1753 and 1754.
So since we started discussion on this, my staff has met with Tom Miller, Sam's chief of staff, and there must have been a misunderstanding because they have not asked for this to be held over.
Ah. Ben, what's your...
Well, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to confer with my colleagues.
Is your mic on?
I believe so. Either way?
Not hearing you.
Project a little more. Thank you for the opportunity to confer with my colleagues. The specific question that I understand has been posed to me is, what is the vote necessary to sustain a motion to postpone to a date certain? And we've gone back and we have not opined on this in writing previously that we can ascertain. We've checked Robert's rules and the Attorney General's manual on public meetings, and it would be the majority of the members present. So in this case, it could be a 2-to-1 vote if the vote split.
although, as I said, Commissioner Adams has not asked for this to be postponed.
Right. So there's two. My understanding is there are, we're talking about two different matters. One is recap four.
Right.
Which I understand to be fairly non-controversial.
Yes.
So why don't we take that issue up and then and take the second issue and we can have a discussion.
Okay. It's a second reading. Call the vote on item 1753. Call a vote.
Fish. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 1754.
Revised retail sales and service regulations for Division Main Street through the Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Package.
So if I could kick off the council discussion on this. So I have had the chance to follow an email exchange Commissioner Leonard has had with some folks on an alternative to this approach.
Yes.
And I thought the exchange was thoughtful and raised some interesting issues. I also have had a chance with Hannah Kuhn to go back and review the materials that were submitted us in support of the particular package. My sense after following the discussion is that we would be well served on an issue of this importance having a larger complement of our colleagues, whether or not Commissioner Adams was requesting that we have that this be said over or not, in part because I think that what Commissioner Leonard has identified is an important policy question. And if I'm not going to at great risk of trying to summarize what I understand the difference is, it is, I think, very simply stated, whether there is a surgical way to give the applicant the relief that he seeks versus a more global approach, which would affect the whole of Division.
And I believe that there is.
So I have not had a chance to talk, other than Commissioner Leonard. I do not know what the leanings of any of my colleagues are on this issue. We've not discussed it. What I would like to preserve is for an opportunity for the full council to vote on the merits. And I'd be prepared to follow whatever suggestion you have so that there would be at least a backstop for the full council to vote on this.
I appreciate that. And it's unfortunate not everybody was here last week, Mayor Potter, to listen to the debate because I thought it was a healthy and good debate. But I need to summarize it for you so that you can understand the perspective I have. We, as you'll recall, back in 2006 or 5, passed the Division Street Plan, which included what I felt at the time, and I think I acknowledged at the time, was really a visionary set of regulations to preserve the opportunity for local and small businesses to populate along Division between Southeast 12th and Southeast 60th, where this regulation applies. I remember at the time thinking that it was really a template that we should be able to use in other districts. And then, of course, the then market, which was not New Steven, Seasons, but was
Wild Oats.
Wild Oats, closed. The building remained vacant. And the owner of the property went and met with the neighborhood. And you know, I think there are varying descriptions of what happened, but I don't think anybody could disagree that the vast majority of the neighbor, potentially with the exception of those actually on the executive board of the neighborhood, what they heard and what they believe is that by making this amendment on the resolution before us, they were going to get a athletic facility, and specifically a Gold's Gym. So when I saw that, it, you know, my